Jennifer, I'd love to welcome you up this morning. Oh, there you are. It's going to be good. Who's ready for declaration number? We had this huge buildup. We did two again because we felt like you weren't quite ready for three. And just so we're doing three today.
Good morning. I'm so excited. So exciting to be here this morning. And I'm excited for you. I'm excited for what the Lord is doing in each of our lives and the process that we're all in together. Okay, so we're going to start with number one. Actually, Marty, how about if we just go through all five and then we'll go back to three. Okay, we're going to say these together. Ready? I'm on assignment. I'm right on time. My purpose is important. My gifts are unique. I'm called to show my world who God is. Okay, so back, we are on number three this week. There's a couple things I want to say about it before I have a little something for you. Your purpose, my purpose, is wired into us. When God created us, all of your purpose was wired right into you. So just rest assured, you have something quite amazing in you because the Creator, who is so amazing, put that in you. So it's already wired in you. The other thing I want to mention about our purpose is sometimes we often wonder, is there only one way to get to our purpose? Because often we think if there's only one way, if we kind of got derailed along the process or the journey, that we kind of think, well, I missed it. There is not. So I just rest assured, there is not just one way. Like we all know, if we pull out our phone and with our map app, and if we put in a destination of where we want to go, even that gives you several ways you can get there. So just know, if you've happened to take some detours along the way, remember number two, you are right on time. So even if you've had some detours, I've had my own fair share of detours along the way, I'm right on time, and I'm also on my purpose, and there's more than one way to get there. The other thing I just want to mention, and I'm going to pray over all of us, we need to be free of sibling rivalry. And what I mean by that is looking at someone and like, gosh. So, perfect example. I'll just take my, because this is actually my sister, Jacqueline. You look at her and like, doesn't she just really have the most amazing voice? Don't we all love her voice? Don't you just love how she, yes, yes, let's do that. Yes, she really does. Honestly, and don't you love when she gets on the keys and she just prophetically just allows the keys to begin prophesying to you? Yes, is that not amazing? Really, and I, you know what could happen to me? If I look at that, I'm like, gosh, like, why does she get the stage? Why does she get the keyboard? Why does she get to be so good at playing the chords? Like, why is her voice so amazing? If I allow myself to do that, well, there's a couple of things. One, I just caused myself to get stuck because of that comparison that I get stuck and just thinking, why, you know, that jealousy and envy and why her and not me. I get stuck to seeing what the Lord really has for me, discovering my own journey. The other thing it does, it just robs all joy. It just robs joy. So I just want to free us. The other thing is, you know, many of you don't realize, but I have an incredible brother who's also incredibly bright and gifted, and he's right up there, many of you don't even know he's up there. He's up there on the balcony. There we go, Jeremy. I was wondering if you were going to look at me. Yeah, Jeremy's amazing too. And if you don't know that, he is actually the one that makes all of them sound really amazing. You know, I don't have the right term, so he can probably giggle at me. He, like, synthesizes, syncs, equalizes. He does the bass, the treble, and a whole bunch of other vocabulary words I don't even know about. But if I look at him, like, well, he actually gets to do his thing, and he's, like, he gets to be a part, but he's also kind of, like, those of you kind of might like this, he's also kind of, like, not on stage, so he kind of gets to do his awesomeness, but you know, he does it, and you don't even aware how awesome he is. Like, why does he get to do that? So again, that civil rivalry can just cut, you know, so I'm just going to pray. So Lord, I just thank you that in this moment, we all can be free from looking at our brothers and sisters and seeing how you're moving in their life, how you've uniquely gifted them, their purpose for the kingdom. Lord, that we are just free from any comparison, any rivalry. We're just free. We just lay that at your feet and just say, Lord, we just want to be the greatest champions and to cheer them on, Lord, that and that will just free us to just really go after what you've placed in each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're all free now. Super awesome. Now that we can look to see how awesome you are as we cheer on others, awesome. There's, you know what, if you have your phone, you can just snap this. I have 4 points. If not, you could just write them down. Number one. For this, make a list of your strengths. Now, I did this, no, honestly. I sat there, and I'm like, what are my strengths? Like, what are my strengths? So if you need help from a friend, totally, you can call a friend. You know, you can call someone and say, hey, like, what do you see in me, like, that I can't see in myself? Sometimes it's really helpful. But if not, just ask the Lord. Well, interesting enough, when I was spending time with the Lord, I'm like, Lord, what is one of my strengths? He goes, oh, Jennifer, it's your voice. And I'm like, oh, yeah. You're like, that's right. And this one interesting thing is because my niece, just a week ago, she goes, hey, Jennifer, I didn't know that you were a mime. I'm like, yeah, those were my silent years. I was. And I spent a couple years, the only way I communicated was through body language. So funny. But I look back at that, and it was a very difficult, challenging season of my life. And the Lord goes, Jennifer, I brought you out. I mean, we all go through. I'm like backtracking. Like, it was wonderful. But also, the Lord moved me, and he goes, Jennifer, you got to use your voice. And I started thinking about that. I'm like, sometimes we have things in us that the Lord has placed that we kind of don't like to mention to people, but just be free. Like, I really want this to be the free zone. Like, you can just be you and just start going after those unique things. So definitely when I was hanging out with the Lord, he goes, yeah, there's something about your voice that it's okay. Like, I placed that in you. Like, really, my voice is pretty loud. Like, I could probably do this without a microphone, you know. So it's okay to start listing some things. Just list them. Just be free. Even if it kind of makes you uncomfortable, just list them. Okay, the second thing I want you to think about this week is, what do you dream about? Now, this was an interesting process for me, too, because the Lord brought me back. Well, I was spending some time, and I was like, you know, when you lay at night and you start thinking about things, I don't know, you start dreaming like, oh, like when you're in like high school or whatever, college, you start thinking about things and dreaming like, oh, yeah, that would be so awesome. That one thing came back to me. And he goes, Jennifer, don't you remember in high school, you used to dream about this at night all the time? I'm like, oh, that's right. I did. And can I also mention something to all of us in this room? We have seasons. And I really want you to go after this season, because seasons change. And what the Lord calls you to do changes also. For some of you, it'll just be a season shift and a change into something different. Some of you will be awakening, like, I had put that in you for so long. And I would just say to you that the season's now for that one. Okay, number three, what is an area that bothers you? In essence, like, when you see it, when you hear about it, you know, it's like, that kind of pokes at you, and like, you know, what bothers you is like, you know that there's an answer to that, you know there's a solution to that, and like, there's something in you like, you know, like, I want to help, or I want to be a part of that. So just put that down too as you're working on it this week. And the last point I want you to look at is, what have you overcome? Because your purpose will be tied into benefiting humanity. That's just how we're wired for kingdom. So whatever the Lord is having you to go after and pursue, it will go after for benefiting humanity, and your breakthrough is part of that. So how could your breakthrough help someone else into greater freedom? So Lord, I just thank you for this process and this journey that each of us are on. Lord, I just thank you that for each one that's sitting in this room, Lord, there's such a banner over them that says, my purpose is important. And Lord, and then we look at each other, Lord, that we start asking questions and start drawing that out and championing one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
So good. Well, let's just hop in the word. Is that okay? Mike, can you come on up? This is a guy that carries the word of the Lord that burns on his heart. I love how you carry the word, brother.
Thank you.
I love that. So thank you. Go for it.
Hey, let's go to the video. Can we show the video real quick? Because that's going to launch us. Lights down. Don't they do that in movies? It's like, okay, so this is 1991. So just real quick, this is 1991. So the volume might be a little and the picture might be a little because we didn't have the technology at that time. But this is from the movie Hook. How many have ever seen the movie Hook?
Yeah.
Okay, this is from the movie Hook. And this is going to kind of, this is going to launch us for about the next 10, 15 minutes into our topic. But I want you to catch this first part. And this is Robin Williams, who's making a speech for Wendy, who is, they're dedicating a wing to the hospital. And so this is that scene. Ready? Go.
I read recently that they're now using lawyers instead of rats for scientific experiments. They do this for two reasons. One, the scientists become less attached to the lawyers. And two, there's certain things that even rats won't do. I would like to thank the Board of Trustees of the Great Ormond Street Hospital for having me here this evening. And beg your forgiveness because normally I'm used to addressing shareholders. We don't know each other, and I doubt that we have very much in common, except this wonderful woman, Wendy Angela Darling. Granny Wendy brought me in from the cold. She taught me to read and write. She even found people to be my parents and adopt me. She's loved so many children, just so effortlessly. That's her achievement. Many of you here tonight were once lost children, but Granny Wendy found parents and homes for each of you and saved you. That's her miracle. And I know that if you could stand now, you would express much better than I have your feelings of gratitude, appreciation, and warm feelings for this wonderful woman. I guess we do have something in common. We're orphans.
Why that is important is that we all have the same common issue. We're orphans. Sin has separated us from the relationship with the Father. Romans chapter 3 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So what that means is that without Jesus Christ, you and I are not part of his family. And God could not just allow that to be. God would refuse to allow that to be. So, orphans, former orphans, you and I who are in relationship with God, as Paul's going to show us here in Ephesians, you and I have all been adopted. Look to the person to your left and your right and say, you're adopted. Or say to yourself, if you're not sitting next to someone. And so, as we're in the study, this is going to be about 15 minutes, because I know there's kids in the room, and I want to be sensitive to that. Paul is writing something in Ephesians, and as one commentator said, as he's writing these words, or he's dictating these words, he is in controlled ecstasy. That Paul is not writing Ephesians going, let's see, blessed be the God and our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Picture Paul walking around the room, hands raised, voice in praise, going, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That he is so enthralled by the revelation of God, of what God has done for us, that he is not passively just writing words. He is engaging in the high praise of God when he recognizes all that God has done for us. His heart is overflowing with praise to God. Now this morning, I'm going to read just these verses and then we're going to get into it real quick. I'm going to read it from the Message Bible because sometimes it's good to have a different version, get to hear a different language, but it's the same text. When it says this in verses 3 and 4, or 3 through 6, excuse me. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundation, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift giving by the hand of his beloved son. Wow. Paul is writing here that God has done something and he predestined it. Now, I got to sit with some pastors this last Thursday who have different theological beliefs, and we got into predestination. It was really a lot of fun. So I know that predestination can be, if you're aware of this, a very controversial subject. But the best I've read about predestination says this, that predestination does not suggest a fatalism that excludes some while including others, but assures an appointed plan and a guaranteed destiny for all the redeemed. That, dear ones, when Adam and Eve missed it and mucked it up, God didn't wring his hands, call a council meeting, and say, what are we going to do? God had already pre-planned, and he already chose you before there was let there be light. And God also had pre-established boundaries. He had pre-established what he was going to do because he would not allow his creation to forever be orphans. And so what did he predestine us to do? He adopted us. He adopted us before there was a let there be light. And how does adoption take place? It takes place through the beloved son, through Jesus Christ, who gave himself on a cross, sacrificed his life, shed his blood, so that you and I might be adopted as his children. You and I, like this movie, Hook. Again, who saw the movie Hook? In this scene, that's Peter Banning, a high-priced lawyer. In this scene, he is this lawyer that comes in and takes over companies, takes all the assets away, and as Wendy says, you're a pirate. In this movie, he thinks he is Peter Banning, a lawyer, but he's really Peter Pan, the hero. And you and I, we read story after story, watch movie after movie, read book after book with the same storyline. Person who doesn't know who they are discovers who they are, and their life totally changes. It's a movie, we watch it all the time. If you watch the Marvel movies, it's the same story over and over again. If you watch The Matrix, it's the same story over and over and over again. Our grandson this last Saturday and our granddaughter, we got to watch them for about 12 hours on Saturday. So he walks in and he's into lions. Lucas is into lions right now. So he walks in and goes, lions. So we go to Disney Plus and there's the Lion King. And from 8 in the morning to 7 o'clock at night, what ran in the background was The Lion King 1 and 2. Now, Deb and I didn't go shopping while he watched TV. We had food, we played with him, we did all that kind of stuff. But he watched The Lion King, and what is the story? Simba runs away. He has an encounter with his father, and his father says, you've forgotten me. And then Simba, as he encounters his father, realizes how he's living is not who he is. And then he comes to his senses, goes back to the pride lion, gets rid of Scar, and takes over, and the land is healed. Over and over and over again. Why? Because I believe in the heart of every person, there's this desire to say, who am I really? And what Paul is trying to tell us here, he's trying to show us our true identity. that if you're a lawyer or if you're a doctor or if you work in construction or you're a housewife or you're a school teacher or you're retired, all those things are not your true identity. It comes from this one fact that God predestined you to be his child, and that's who you really are. And God, before you could say boo, before God could say, before you can go wah, before any of your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, all the way back, God already had his hand for you and said, I adopt you. And what's fascinating is that in Roman law, that if a man adopted a child, that child would get the same benefits and the same rights as a natural-born child. So Jesus, the authentic, true Son of God, he gets the rights as the Son of God, and we get the same rights as heirs as the adopted children of God. So when you pray, God will listen to you the same way he'll listen to Jesus. When you talk to the Father, he's not saying, hello, sorry, it's on sabbatical, get back to you later. His ear is attuned to your heart. He knows your life. He knows what's going on. And before you even knew it, God says, I choose you. Yeah, right? So what do we do in the church? We tell the same stories over and over again. Abraham, Jacob, David. We can tell the stories of Joseph, we tell of Ruth, of Esther. What are these stories? Joseph has a dream that God wants to use him in this great fashion. And what happens? He gets betrayed by his brothers, thrown into a pit, gets sold into slavery, thrown into jail, and finally he arrives at the palace. We tell these stories over and over and over again. Why? Because it's the story of how God redeems humankind and adopts us as his own. Man, Mike, that's good stuff. And what Paul is trying to tell us now is that you are the protagonist. You're in the story. You're in the movie. You're in the book. And though you will not be David, and though you will not be Moses, it doesn't matter. It is our turn to discover that God has adopted us into the family, and that changes everything about our lives. Jesus says it this way in John chapter 1. John says it this way in John chapter 1. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So, I didn't get to choose my parents. You didn't get to choose your parents. Your parents could have been wonderful, godly, loving, or your parents could have been the worst people in the world. You didn't get to choose your folks. But when you're adopted, you have to be chosen. So it doesn't matter how you got here. What matters is, are you adopted? That you're here is a praise God. But to think about the God of all creation, the God that we read about in the Bible, the God who shares his life by dying on a cross, the God who walked the earth, this God says, I choose you. Not only does he choose us, he says this in Romans chapter 8. We're not only part of the family, but we are heirs with God and co-heirs with Jesus. An heir can only receive something because they're part of the family. They have to be in the will. And God says, you are in my will. Not death will, but the will of my decision. Because Paul goes on to say, and pause with me for just a moment, think about this, that God did all of this for his own pleasure and his own will. That the reason why God did this is it best reflects truly who he is. That God's will and God's good pleasure was that before there was let there be light, God says, I adopt you as mine. And the only question is this, do we accept it or do we reject it? Because this can be rejected and this can be accepted. So God, for his own delight, God for his own pleasure, God for his own purpose, went to the cross and died for us so that we could be adopted. So when you see God, when you picture the face of God, do you see him going, or do you see him going? Your view of God is determined on your understanding of all he's done in Ephesians 1, all that he's done to say, you're mine. And dear ones, I have been singing songs like Jacqueline led for years. God really loves us. How many's ever heard this phrase, God loves you? Yet how many times do we question the words when the truth from Ephesians is this? Before you could say yes or no, God had you in his heart. So as Jess has been talking about order, glory, and judgment, Paul's dealing with this. Because we're not going to get as much Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 until we understand Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. Paul didn't write 4, 5, and 6 first. He wrote 1, 2, and 3 first, at least in our numbering. He wrote this first because we have to get this thing. God really loves us. God, turn to somebody right now and tell them, God really loves you. Go ahead and tell them. And then Paul says he does this for his own praise and glory, that his presence, listen, when we get, the more we understand, God gives us his glory, but the more we understand all that he's done for us, the more it is that we will live out what he's done for us. So to Ephesians 4, live a life worthy of the calling. What is the calling? The calling is you've been adopted. Live out who you are. So when Abraham, who was in Ur of the Chaldeans, he was living a certain way. When he understood the promise of God, he didn't go back to the Ur of the Chaldeans. Why? Because he understood his calling. When Joseph understood his calling, he didn't go back and work for his dad's farm. When David understood his calling, he didn't go back to be a shepherd. Ruth didn't go back to Naomi's people. Esther didn't go back to live with Mordecai. Paul, once he understood his calling, didn't go back to be a Pharisee. I caught that. He lived. Did you catch it? Yeah. Anybody else catch that? Did I catch it? Anybody else? Anybody else catch it? Anyone? Anyone? Who didn't catch what just happened? Who caught it? Come on, raise your hand. Who caught it? Okay, God bless you. It's on tape. Hey, by the way, Jeff's not feeling well. Jeff, we love you. Erase that. By the way, we haven't set our clock back. It's after 12, so we're good. So how much does this cost you and I to be adopted? What is the price? And Paul says, it's free. God has freely given us this through the one he loves. Give me the name of the one he loves. What's his name? His name is? Say it again. Would you a little bit louder? It's Jesus. Jesus did the heavy lifting. And what God is asking all of us today is to say yes to adoption. I've been serving God since I was about 18 years old. I am now a little bit older than 18. And I'm still learning what does it mean to be adopted. I'm still learning because my traditions were performance. My traditions were behavior. My traditions were try harder. And this truth has setting me free to going, no. I don't do this for God's love. I do this because I'm part of the family. So we don't go back to sin. Why? Because we know who we are. David didn't go back to shepherding because he knew who he was. He shepherded people, no sheep. When you and I understand who we are, the Bible makes a lot more sense. And when the Bible pushes against, I don't believe that, I don't understand that, I don't agree with that, what that is revealing is we don't fully understand our identity for what God has done. So we can't just change behavior, we change mindsets of going back to saying, God, I need to know what you've done for me so that my line of lives aligns with how you asked me to live as your son, as your daughter. And can I be honest with you, dear ones? I've been a pastor for a lot of years. I've known too many Christians who've been sitting in the pew for years and they still have an orphan heart. They're not sure about their father's love. They're not confident that I get you. I understand you. And I choose you. So, we're going to keep going through Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. But chapter 1, verses 1 through 14 is a one long sentence where Paul is telling us all that God has done for us. There's nothing on our part but accepting it. We're saying yes. And then starting in verse 15, he moves from this revelation of who we are. In verse 15, he goes to a prayer that he prays all the time. And what is the prayer that he prays? Would you go there real quick, Marnie, verse 15? Would you say this out loud? Worship team, would you come on up? Come on up, worship team. Josh, get ready. Come up. Would you say this out loud with me, please? Here we go. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Okay, so he's going to pray for us, and he constantly prays us over and over again. Let's go to the next verses. Here we go. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of... Why? That you may know him better. Why? Keep going. We're going to go to the next one. Here we go. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who... Could it be that Paul recognized that we can hear those words time and time and time and time again, but it's not until we see them that they change our lives? So just like the stories, just like Luke Skywalker on the island of the planet Tatooine, and what is he doing? He is a guy who grows spice for his uncle. And everybody knows he is somebody great. But he just sees himself as a spice grower, just like his uncle, until he sees it. His life was not meant to be a spice grower. His life was meant to change a world. And dear ones, I can tell you, look, everyone, look me in the eye. God really loves you. God really, really loves you. He's chosen you. He's called you. He's adopted you. And we can hear those words Sunday after Sunday. We can read them. But it's not just that we hear them. We have to see them. And that's what I believe Paul is saying. Lord, all that I've just shared, would you give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation that they would know the one who adopted them better? And this eyes of your heart enlightened is a picture. It's this. Paul didn't have this in his days, but I'm going to take a picture of you guys. Here we go. You ready? Everybody smile. We'll start here, there, there, there. So if you come to my phone, that would not take a picture except that my phone's camera lens takes in light, captures an image, and then closes. And that's Paul's word for that your eyes of your heart might be enlightened. That your heart would go, oh, I see it. And then, oh, I see it. I see it. I see it. And then our lives change because we have our hearts exposed. God really loves us. As we see this, we will do what Paul did. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. As you see this, it's not possible to sit on your hands. As you see this, it's not possible that throughout your day you just go, oh God, wow, really? Huh? And our life just begins to change, not because we're trying harder, because we see something. And so Josh is going to come up. I'm going to go back, jump on the bass. I'm having so much fun playing the bass right now. Okay? But as a family, here's what I'm asking you all to do. And I'm really asking you, and don't write it in your note, put it in your phone, set a calendar. Would you every day pray Ephesians 1:15? Would you pray, Father, in my life, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of my heart be enlightened? Because what he says is available to us, I wonder how much we're living. And I don't want these just to be words on a screen or words in a book. This is our life. How do we know we're going to live this way? When we understand who we are in him. Would you pray for everybody in this church? Would you pray this verse over everybody in this church? Would you pray for our valley? Would you pray that, Lord, which there are people who don't know you yet, who you've already called to be yours. Would you give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation? Would you open the eyes of their heart? God, would you just, they recognize the grace. How many have got loved ones who are not serving God right now? How many of you had loved ones that was in church and now they're not in church anymore and you don't even know why? Okay, Lord, those seeds that were planted, let them see it. Let them see it, God. Because we are in the story now. And we don't go back to old lifestyles, not because of discipline. We go forward because we know who we are in him. And then if we're afraid, Father, I need the spirit of wisdom. I need revelation, God. I need this. And as I said, well, I'm not going to say it earlier. My heart is abuzz right now. And this has been my prayer for about the last month for you all. That when we see it, it doesn't matter how young we are, how old we are. When we see it, it brings life. Yes. Yes. Josh, go ahead. I just took all the time.
Fortunately, one of my favorite pieces of movie history comes from this, the movie he shared, Hook. And it's the moment where Peter begins to remember who he is. If you've seen it, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, I encourage you to go rent it and check it out. Watch it on, rent it on Amazon or whatever. But he's sitting at this table, and they're about ready to, so he's been working out, the Lost Boys are working him out, trying to get him, you know, back into his Peter likeness. And they sit down at this table, and they start bringing in the food, and there's this banqueting table, and they're like, you know, Peter's hungry. He's so hungry. He's starving. He's sore. His body hurts. He's got a, you know, the 45, 50-year-old body, and he's so hungry. So they open everything, and the steam comes out of these dishes and these plates, and there's nothing there. And the boys are just, like, out. They're like, oh, my gosh, this is so good. This is amazing. Oh. And they're like, oh, that's my favorite. And Peter's like, what is this? These bowls are empty. What is this? Not okay, you know? I've been trying to remember who I am all day. And in this moment, Rufio, this guy, begins to poke him, begins to make fun of Peter, and it starts to get him. starts to stir him up. It starts to cause him to remember. And in this one scene, he scoops out of the bowl and he goes, "Hey, Rufio." And he looks at him and he goes, "Whoo," and just splats on his face. And in a moment, boom, everything on the table is completely open. He can see everything. There's a turkey. There's dessert that you would never eat. There's pie. If you're a cake person, I'm sure there was cake. There's everything there. And that is a picture of the kingdom.
Yeah.
You have been called to sit at the banqueting table and remember who you are. Stand up on your feet. Come on, it's time to step into a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom and revelation is your portion. This is what you've been called to. This is who you are. So Holy Spirit, we thank you as we begin to worship. Would you launch us in to our right mind of who you've called us to be? Awaken our hearts. Help us to see what you're really up to. Show us the plans and the purposes that you have for our lives. We thank you, God. We are on time. We are on time. We are on time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go and be blessed. Turn to somebody and just say, God really loves you. And hopefully you just take that to heart because it's true. Amen.
So good. So good. I go like 2 more hours of worship today.
Thank you.
So much fun, so good.